Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and that's where we're going to be today. We're talking about the old paths and the way that God would have us to walk in our lives. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we're going to read responsively. You may join me out loud on the even verses, and I will read by myself on the odd verses, excuse me, as we go through Jeremiah and chapter 6. Beginning together in verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel, as a vine, turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. We're going to continue talking about the old paths, and I said this had a relationship with the idea of Father's Day and remembering our fathers. Because, listen, we have an example. We have a spiritual example, God the Father. And we've been talking about God the Father and how God is in the old paths. These are His paths. These are His ways. These are the things about God that we need and to know and must follow in our lives. Folks, listen, this is not Lighthouse Baptist Church's way. This is not Pastor Eric Combs' way. This is not the Christian way. This is God's way. These are His paths, okay? You know what? I don't decide these things. This old book does, okay? And that's what we choose to follow because this is all we know about God. And you know what? You can't make this stuff up. There are churches, there are, if you will, religions, if you will, that try to make things up. They take a word here or a verse here, and then they build this doctrine, and they build this doctrine. Listen, this is of no private interpretation. We're an old-fashioned, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching, old-path-following Baptist church. If it says it, that's what I believe. You say, well, sometimes it's confusing. Good, then you're just confused, and God is right. That's it. You say, well, it seems to contradict here and there. Well, then you don't understand. There's nothing wrong with this book. It is perfect in every sense of the way. And it's the old paths. It's what we should follow. You say, well, how can I follow if I don't understand it? How can you do a proof in plain geometry if you don't understand it? You just do it. Okay? They're just some axioms. You say, I don't understand that 1 + 1 = 2. I don't care. It does. Okay? There's just some things that, you know, people say today in our society. Well, I don't understand how there can just be men and women. There just are. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care if you're a male and feel like a female, you're a male. I'm sorry. There are just these things. There are these absolutes. Why? Because God's absolute. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one that sits on the throne. Guess what? He decides the terms. He decides the definitions. He decides what things are, not us. And guess what? Man doesn't get to change the truth. Man doesn't get to change the definitions. Man doesn't get to decide, oh, I think this is a better way. I'm sorry. God says it's this way, and that's the way it is. And I'm just one of those guys that says, you know what, God? You're right. We're wrong. Let's do it your way. That's how it's supposed to be. You know what? I have children. I have 12 children. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. I have 12 children. You know what? My children think they have a better way than Dad. Come on, Dads. You don't have any children, do you? Dads, do you have any children that think they have a better way than you? Yeah. Man, sometimes working with my sons is a difficult process. Because I have a way that I want to do it. And guess who's in charge? Me. And guess what? Sometimes they don't like the way that I have chosen to do something. They think, oh, here they are. Hi, sons. They think that they know better than Dad. Because, you know, I've never experienced anything. I mean, I haven't gone through elementary school, junior high school. You know, 4 years in the United States Navy, that's no big deal. 5 years of Bible college. You say, why were you in so long? Because I got 2 bachelor's degrees. Is that okay in 5 years? That's pretty good, I thought. You know, 18 years in the ministry. I don't know anything. I've never built anything. I've never, you know, designed anything. I've never done it. They know better than me, right? Okay, folks, we don't know better than God. God is on the old path. He says, hey, ask for him. I'll tell you. I'll show you the old path. Why do we keep bucking up against God? Why do we keep saying, God, I know better than you. Oh, God, listen, this old path that you're on, it's just old and it needs a refresh. You know, it's just 2023, man. We got to get on the ball here. And this path looks better. And this path makes more sense. And no, folks, it's his path. Let's just stay on it. Let's just walk in it. Why? Peace for our souls, rest for our souls. It's the way to walk. We need to stay true to the old paths. We've talked about the old paths, about the Holy Scriptures. The Bible, the Word of God. It's not the Word of man, it's the Word of God. God has given us His Word, and we ought to walk in it. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Folks, we got to get back to that. We got to stay on the path that this book is the book and I'm going to follow it. I'm going to be like Paul and say, sirs, be of good cheer for I believe God. That's it. God said it. That settles it. There's nothing else to say. Just, okay, all you millennials, just drop the mic right there. Okay, it's done. We don't have to say anything else. We don't need to defend anything. Why do we, finite people, need to defend an infinite God? He doesn't need defense. He needs people just to follow him, to walk in his path, to say, you know what? God knows more than I do. You know, it kind of works out pretty good when my boys finally submit to me. I don't have to yell at them as much. I don't have to chase them around with 2x4s. Okay? You know, isn't it funny? Teenagers, they'll go all out for football, for baseball. I mean, they'll run bases, they'll run cones, they'll just hit, you know, a receiver, just boom, and they'll go out. I mean, motor all the time. Come on, coach. I mean, these guys. And then you ask them to go get you a piece of lumber, and they're like. So I pick up a stick, and I'm like, and they're like, you know. I'm motivating them, you know. When it's something they want to do, they're all motivated. But when it's something I want them to do, they're like, you know. Oh, okay, I'm gonna get off that soapbox today. It's Father's Day, right? Now, all also, we need to make sure we're on the old paths concerning what we believe about God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. And today I want to focus on man. Over in Genesis chapter 1, we read this last week where it says that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Oh goodness, we can't read this. It is hate speech. Male and female created he them. Sorry, folks. That's what it says. You understand, folks? It says God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." You understand, folks? This is God's design. Mankind is God's design. And we were created in the image of God. We're not created in any other image. Man is not a God unto himself. Man is a creation. The creation of God. That's who we are. We are who God created us to be. We've got to walk on the old paths of that, folks. Don't get away from what God has said about mankind. We are his image. We are his creation. God has created man in the image of God. That's what God has done. He's given man a vocation. We're supposed to be over the things of this earth. The things of this earth are not supposed to be over us. You know what I hate? I hate that God's creation is now more important than God. And how about this? The things that man was supposed to be over and oversee, which was everything that God created, now are more important than man. You know, in our world today, people will choose the life of an animal over the life of a person. They're more concerned with what's happening to endangered species than what's happening to unborn babies. Yeah. Our world is messed up, folks. They've got off on these other paths and they're going down. Listen, I am not for animal cruelty. But no way ever is any pet or any animal going to be more important than my children. It ain't happening. I can get another dog. Don't get any ideas. Let me rephrase it. I can get another chicken, okay? I'll eat the one I have and buy a new one, okay? And et cetera. That's another inside joke, okay? But you know what? We had a dog when I was a kid. We had actually several different ones. We lived on a farm, North Dakota, 5 acres out in the country. We had horses, chickens, dogs, you know, cats, all kinds of stuff. And I had a horse. She was Arabian. So she was kind of fiery. Her name was Red Lady. And she was a spunky thing. We had a golden retriever given to us. His name was Surf. And he was aggressive. He liked nothing more than to chase my horse around the pasture. Okay? We would try to tell him not to. We would tie him up. One day he got out and he decided that he was going to chase my horse. And my horse said, "I am tired of you chasing me." So she stopped and she kicked him right in the head. Slid his jaw halfway across his face. Okay, can I tell you something? The best thing to do for that dog was to put him down. Okay? So guess what? We put him down. That's the merciful thing to do. And we got a new dog. That's just part of life, folks. Okay? Now, if it were one of my kids chasing the horse, and their jaw was halfway across their face, guess what I do? I take them to the doctor. Because they're a kid. They're a human being. You understand? Okay, enough of that. I'm just trying to say, we've gone crazy in our world today. We've gotten off the old paths. Folks, we need to stay on the old path. God created man. There's a purpose to it. And I just give these illustrations. No, I'm not some kind of heartless person. I do care about these things. But listen to me. You've got to understand there's a difference. Man has a never-dying soul. Man is God's crowning creation. We're the only ones that are created in the image of God. Animals are not. Plants are not. Creeping things are not. Mankind is. There should be a difference. Our world is trying to blur it all together where none of it matters. No, it does matter because it's God's way. It's God's path. We have got to maintain God's path. It's our responsibility. We see over and over in Scripture how Satan tries to blur the lines of the old paths. And he's still doing it today by desensitizing us to the things that God says are. Man is different than every other creation. The world is going to try to tell you otherwise. We've got to maintain the old paths. We've got to stay on the old paths. In Romans chapter 3, we're told about the condition of man. Paul says this, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. You understand, folks, there's this complex thing called the depravity of man. God created man perfect in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil beguiled, he seduced, he tricked Eve. Eve took of the fruit. She was convinced that she should be as gods, and God was holding something back from her. When she came and brought it to Adam, Adam chose the creation over the Creator. Because of that, mankind fell. It was a choice, folks. Can I tell you something? The devil didn't make you do it. You were born this way, with a curse. We choose sin. I mean, let's do an easy one. How many of you have ever made the choice to lie? If I could raise my other foot too, I would. Oh yeah, we all have. And if you didn't raise your hand, you just lied. No, we all, haven't we all? We've all, and you say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, you chose. You knew what you were doing. Hey, listen, I love telling this story. I think I've told it once here before. My oldest son and my youngest son have really, or not, middle son, have not always gotten, I don't think they've ever gotten along. but this one here is sometimes, he's one of those ones that's just out there, right? He's just whatever. So he got in trouble one day. I don't know, he was like 3 or 4 years old, just a little guy. And I told him to sit on the, who was I talking about with couches? He was on the flowered couch. Okay. And he's on the flowered couch. And I said, you sit there. You know, you're in trouble. Okay. So I walk into the next room and my older son didn't know that I could hear him. He's about 5, almost 6 years old. He says to this one here, Daddy said it's okay for you to get off the couch. And so I hear all this happening and I hear this little pitter patter of feet. And as soon as that kid's feet hit the floor, Daddy, Ian got off the couch. Ooh. Can I say the depravity of mankind, folks? I'm telling you, we're depraved. Even at 3 and 4 years old. No. This is something we've got to recognize. Can I tell you something? The world would have you believe that mankind at their core is good. That is a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Man is not inherently good. How many of you parents ever had to teach your children to do bad? None. I'm shocked. No, I'm not shocked. How many of you parents have had to teach your children to do good? Every single one of you. Folks, mankind does not naturally do good. They naturally sin because that's our natural state. The natural man is cursed. Don't let this world trick you. Don't let them take you down another path. Mankind is condemned already in their sin. That's an old path, folks. Do you know that even some Christians don't believe that anymore? No, it's the truth. It's the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. God tells us about us. He wants us to understand our being. Why? So we can overcome it. So we can die to self, so we can choose to follow the old paths and walk with God. You know what? As a father, do you know what I've passed down to my children? Sin nature. You know why? Because I'm a sinner. And you're a sinner. And they're little sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. We just read in Romans chapter 3. We're all, there's none that seek God. There's none that do good. There's none righteous. No, not one. Why? Why is that the case? Look at verse 12. That's Jeremiah chapter 5. I'll read from here. All right, here we go. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do you understand that? Does that mean that just some of us are sinners? Some of us are good at heart. No, all. Death has passed upon all men. Think about this. Just in our minds, think about this. Adam and Eve, created perfect in the garden. We don't know the time frame, how long they spent there. But then man sinned against God and fell. Shortly after, they begin to have children. And those children, right, were raised up. What were their names? Cain and Abel. Y'all know the story. So think about the timeline. Think about this. How long did it take for the first murder to take place? Thousands of years? Is that because man was inherently good? No. Folks, it wasn't even one generation. And we got one killing another. The depravity of man is a real thing. We've got to understand it. So it says here that this has happened. So it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we've got to understand the depravity of mankind. Folks, listen to me. Why is this so important? Because if you don't believe you're depraved, then what do you need Jesus for? If you don't believe that you're condemned already, lost and undone, if you believe that you're naturally good, you have they've got a good heart. No, they've got an evil heart. It's deceitful, it's desperately wicked, it's bent toward hell. If you don't believe that, guess what? You don't need a Savior. You don't need salvation. That's why this old path is so important. That's why the devil's trying to draw people away. He's trying to trick them into thinking they're good. In our text that we read, he said that these people, back in verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Folks, it's a false teaching. They're trying to draw you away of your look at the Savior, saying, I need Jesus because I'm lost and undone. I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm not a God. I'm not the decider of my own fate. God is. He said I'm a sinner. He said I need to be saved. I need salvation. That's why these old paths are important. You say, well, this is just a little matter. No, it's not a little matter. It's a big matter. And it matters that we understand this doctrine, these old paths. Over in Romans chapter 6, you can look at what Paul says about our life. He ends in verse 23 by saying, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we must understand the magnitude of the depravity of mankind. We are sinners. We are in need of a Savior. But that's the good news. There is a Savior. Amen. And yes, I said that on purpose. There is a Savior. Just one. There are not many ways to heaven. There's just one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me just give you a little hint here. Off of the old path, there are other paths that can be taken. Some people think that good works will get you to heaven. Nope. Some people think there are other gods that can get you to heaven. Nope. Some people think there's no heaven. No hell. Nope. I told you I don't mind talking to atheists or agnostics. I don't mind at all. Because look, if they're right, I'm just fine. Because if they're correct in their thinking that this Bible's not real, there's no God, there's nothing out there, we just live for this time and we just go back into the dirt, then we're all okay, folks. Because guess what? We're just going to be worm dirt. That's all we're going to be. No big deal. But if I'm right in what I believe, then they're in a heap of trouble. Because their destination will be hell. Listen, I'm okay. That's why I'm okay talking to atheists. I don't mind. Because at the end of the day, it's on them. It's their choice. You can choose the old paths, or you can choose another path. God wants us to choose salvation. He wants us to understand that we're lost and undone. He wants us to come to the place where we have no other place to turn but to Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what it takes. Did you know you don't get saved just because you're a member of a church? You know you don't get to go to heaven because you're a good person? You don't get to go to heaven because your daddy was a preacher or because your grandpa started such and such church? Hey, you don't even get to go to heaven because you're baptized. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. No, it's according to, His mercy. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We believe that salvation is the gift of God, brought to man by grace and received by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose precious blood was shed on Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were preaching and said, "Be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." You there in Ephesians? Look what it says in chapter 2. In verse 4, "But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." That word quicken means to vivify, to make alive again. If you need to be made alive again, guess what you were? Dead. Dead. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Salvation is one way, folks. It's by grace through faith. Go look at Hebrews chapter 11. That's the hall of faith, right? Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me ask you, who does it mention in that chapter? Does it mention people at the beginning of time? Yeah. How about through the time where Israel was called out by God? Yep. How about through the time of Lord Jesus Christ and on into the future? Yeah. How does it say they're all saved? You know what? There's one way of salvation for all of the ages. It's by faith. the just shall live by faith. Faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Enoch, Adam, Moses, Noah, all of them mentioned. It is by faith. We've got to understand what we believe about the depravity of man. We have to understand what we believe about salvation. It's a free gift. It's of no merit of our own. Past, present, or future. These are the old paths, folks. Let me tell you. There are churches out there that are teaching and preaching another Jesus. I was talking to someone just yesterday, and they said they were asking somebody about if they died today, do you know for sure they go to heaven? And they mentioned that they were saved. And you know what I told them? I said, look, there are churches out there that are taking the terms and definitions that we get from the scriptures and giving them different definitions. Let me just give you one example. There's a church that says that salvation or being born again means you've gone through a catechism class. And that's born again. So they teach in the same term, born again, but they attach a different definition to it. So if you ask those people that go to that kind of church, hey, are you born again? They say, yes, I am. And they're really answering you truthfully. Because they've been given a different definition to that term. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So, guess what? These are not Baptist terms. These are Bible terms. And Bible definitions. Folks, these old paths, we've got to know what we believe about the Word of God. We've got to know what we believe about God Himself. And we've got to know what we believe about the depravity of mankind. And the salvation that's necessary. You say, what does this have to do with Father's Day, Pastor? Listen, who's the one that's supposed to be an example? Who's the one that's supposed to pass things down? Who's the one that's supposed to lead his family? According to the Word of God, that's the Father. Fathers, it's our responsibility. Oh, why we believe what we believe, but what about those around you? What about your wife? What about your children? What about your brothers and sisters? You know what? The greatest joy that I have as a father is when I have an opportunity to see my children come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. When my children decide to live a holy and acceptable life unto God, which is their reasonable service, that's a joy to me. They're not doing it because I'm telling them. They're doing it because they want to please the Lord. That's the joy of a father. I printed some verses in the bulletin for you to talk about how the response of the children pleases the Father. Children that serve the Lord, children that choose the right path, it's a blessing to fathers. But those that don't, it's a shame and heaviness to the Father. Folks, listen to me. These old paths, they're important. I know that maybe what I'm telling you today seems simple. But can I tell you something? Staying on the old path is simple. It's not hard. All we got to do is decide we're going to do it. All we have to do is decide that, you know what God says? That's what I believe. Because God said it and I believe it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to follow it. I don't care what the world says. I don't care if something else makes more sense. This is what God has said. God chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. Doesn't have to make sense. We just need to walk in the old path.